We're unabashedly obsessed. We've got to get it off our chest. Please sit there and be quiet.
Hey, everyone.
Hi.
Welcome to Unabashedly Obsessed, a podcast about pop culture.
And not so pop culture.
I'm James, your host.
I'm Aaron, also your host.
And,
That was take two.
Yeah, that was take two. I think that one may have worked better.
Yeah, I agree. Donate to our non-existent Patreon and you can hear take one.
Absolutely.
The one that did not work as well.
Yes, because I know what you're thinking is, I'd like to hear that, but less working.
And also, I'd like to pay for it.
I'd like to pay to hear something not work as well.
Uh-huh.
That's how I feel when...
And that here is what Unabashedly Obsessed is founded
on. That's right. When I check a movie out of the library and it's like, watch the special features. And I'm like, yeah, all right. And it's like, if you buy the disc. I'm like, but I'm getting it from the library, so I clearly don't want to buy the disc.
Right.
Also, I don't like when outtakes are just, like, deleted, like, extended scenes.
Yeah.
I know that there's a difference between outtakes and a gag reel, but you can't call something an outtake and not have it be a gag reel.
Right.
That's just a hot take.
Yeah.
So, I have a couple of... no context corrections.
You do. Let's dive right in so we can do this thing.
Let's do it. So the Thanksgiving episode, my sister texted me, and I'm not going to look up the text because I'm not prepared to do that, but she said, Mom never, all caps, made stovetop. And so I don't, she said it was always homemade. She basically implied like that was beneath her. So I'm thinking.
What are you trying to say, Kristen?
What, that we're no good?
You trying to say that stovetop's not real stuffing? Not as good as homemade stuffing?
Which is...
I mean, I suppose it's a valid point.
It's a fair point. I think that probably...
It's better than real stuffing.
Kristen and I made stovetop. I think that has to be what it is.
Like in college?
Yeah, or when we had Thanksgiving where we were the adults making adult decisions... I think
stovetop and a turkey sandwich.
It seemed. Oh no! Well, we did real turkey. We did got turkey in our tiny little oven in our tiny little apartment without a dishwasher.
Aw. Oh.
Ugh! It was the worst. I mean, the apartment was awesome because Kristen could clean it in like an hour, like while I was at work.
Uh huh.
Because it was the whole thing. She could like do a great job cleaning of it. Great job of cleaning it.
Uh huh.
In an hour, and it was done. And she misses that now that it takes both of us like. 3 weeks to get the whole... I think we've just barely gotten all of our rooms in our house clean from, like, when Lila was born almost 6 years ago. Like, so that was one no-context correction. Apparently our mom never made stovetop, and I don't know where that memory came from. I'm assuming from my own choices in life. Mark.
Hi, Mark. Your friend Mark.
My friend Mark. Yeah, sorry. Excuse me. The character, my friend Mark.
Right.
Mark, I'm not going to read it in Bullwinkle voice because I'm not that mean. I said, can I just send this all as, or can I read this whole email? And he was like, sure. And I was like, all right, I'm going to do it in a real dumb voice. Think Bullwinkle from cartoons.
Oh.
And he said, then we got into a talk about how Bullwinkle has influenced all of his comedy. But, okay, so... This is from the Somewhere in Time episode that he just listened to. He said, and some of this we went over because we did some Wikipedia on our own. Because we had to do research for the trivia that is available on the Somewhere in Time website.
Yep.
but there's some stuff, I think on the podcast we asked him what color or lens or whatever they're using to get the weird...
Was like the weird soft focus that they use on soap operas.
So he addressed that. So he said, so it's based on a highly regarded novel called Bedtime Return by Richard Matheson, one of the most famous sci-fi writers of the 20th century and probably only second to Stephen King in terms of how much of his work has been adapted to TV or film. Let me just pause and say, Mark really knows how to get
our attention.
Something on the podcast.
Yeah. also, if that's the case, then why have I never heard of this dude except for this movie?
I think we found stuff that he did that was also...
You're probably right. I'm really tired. I don't remember what we did how many weeks ago.
Yeah, that was a long time
ago.
He also wrote a lot of original screenplays and teleplays for shows like The Twilight Zone and The Outer Limits.
Okay.
So I think that it's possible that, like, Somewhere in Time was maybe after his time.
Okay.
And so, like, he was big in, like, he was active in, like, the 60s, and then he also wrote this book that they made a movie of.
Got it.
Whatever. So, okay. So, I almost didn't read that first paragraph, but...
Stephen King. It's
right, exactly. I checked on how the movie was filmed, too, Mark writes. It was filmed in Panavision, but that's just half the equation since that company only provides cameras and lenses.
Okay.
But it did use Technicolor to process the film stock. So the color was Technicolor. However, by 1980, Technicolor was no longer really the Technicolor of The Wizard of Oz or The Adventures of Robin Hood that cranked out product with fanciful hyper-color saturation. It sounds like Aaron was describing soft focus, which gives the image a hazy, dreamy feel, and was frequently used on actresses to hide any inconvenient wrinkles. The old rough-and-tumble way of achieving this was to simply smear Vaseline on the lens.
Okay.
Which is, there's a Simpsons episode where Homer gets boudoir pictures for Marge. And the lady is like, we're going to, like, she, like, dips, like, a trowel into the Vaseline.
Okay. And spreads it on the camera. Okay.
He says, I'm guessing the filmmakers used a combination of camera filters and color timing during film processing to give it the look they wanted. And he said, finally, that director can also count Jaws 2, Supergirl, and Santa Claus the Movie as his other achievements. Not the Santa Claus. Santa Claus the Movie, which is, I only know from the video store, it was of the era in, like, the early 80s, late 70s, where, like, it was an illustration of the actors, and, like, it's, like, a guy in Santa's sleigh, and, like, it's someone famous, like, not Eric Idle, but, like, Dudley Moore or something.
Okay.
Who, like, takes over as Santa. So, basically the Santa Claus, but, like, earlier.
Okay.
So,
and probably less good, because no Tim Allen.
I think probably darker, too.
Okay.
So Mark,
right, because of all the Vaseline on the lens.
Right, exactly. Vaseline always makes everything darker.
Uh-huh.
Mark, when you get to this episode, you can write me an email with a plot synopsis of Santa Claus the Movie. And no one do it. No one else but Mark do it.
Right, only Mark.
So we're going to get like 15 synopses.
Uh-huh.
But to make it even more fun, don't put it on the group. Write us in an email.
Mm-hmm.
If you know the plot to Santa Claus the Movie...
And who's in it.
Without looking it up, email us at unabashedlyobsessed@gmail.com, and we'll see how many of our listeners send that in.
Right.
Okay, so I think...
I'm betting none.
I'm betting Mark.
Well, Mark's a given.
But does Cole listen to our show?
I don't know, but Cole... Hi, Cole.
Hi, Cole.
Maybe.
I think that...
He would know.
He would know.
I'm sure he would.
Okay, so I think those are my no context corrections.
We should give him his show a shout out.
We should. The Magic Lantern, right?
Yeah. Cole does a podcast called The Magic Lantern that's all about movies.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting.
Rebecca was the first episode, right? I think I listened to that one. I have several sort of slotted to listen to from that one.
Same.
They just got featured, did you see on the Still Buffering podcast group, like some other podcast that like, or some website that like compiles podcasts, like interviewed them for, like, their favorite movies of all time or their favorite movie podcast or whatever. Yeah, it was really cool.
Awesome.
Yeah.
We're famous by association.
Absolutely.
That's how that works, right?
We
know people who have a podcast that other people listen to.
Exactly.
That means people listen to our podcast.
Exactly.
Totally how it works.
Okay, so our topic today is Christmas movies, parentheses, dot, dot, dot.
The best Christmas movie.
The best Christmas movie.
Which we'll get to later.
In Aaron's estimation.
Everybody.
I like the movie a lot. Listen, I like the movie a lot. I'm also not a Christmas movie guy.
Neither am I.
Because you're a girl?
I'm a girl.
Right.
I'm not a Christmas movie girl either, though.
Mark is a big Christmas movie guy. He's like, have you watched any Christmas movies yet? And I'm like, no, I don't really. Like, if I remember to watch my favorite Christmas movies, it's a banner year.
The best one is the only one that I watch.
And you watch that regular. You watch that with, like, Paul Blart Mall Cop 2 regularity, right? Like, every year you make sure you watch it?
Yes. I have not actually seen Paul Blart Mall Cop 2, nor do I have a podcast about it.
Me neither, but
I own it. I bought it so that I could watch it, so that I could listen to Till Death Do Us Blart and have any idea what they were talking about. I bought it for, like, $3 used on Amazon.
The concept of Till Death Do Us Blart is really funny.
Yes. I think that came about because they came up with the name.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, now we have to do it.
It's Paul Blart Mall Cop 2, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Not Paul. I have seen the first one. It was okay. It was one of those, it was like free on demand, and we were really bored one night.
And you're like, what Kevin James work can we... Oh, Paul Bamaka.
I have to say, I like Kevin James.
I like him when he's not the star. I like him when he's, like, also there. I think he was in Hitch and Will Smith... Oh, because of Will Smith. Okay.
Yes.
Really ups Kevin James's performance, I think.
Yeah. I think the only other... I'm trying to remember. I know I've seen him in other stuff. I enjoyed Paul Blart well enough for the type of movie that it was.
Yeah.
I've seen a few episodes of King of Queens. It's fine.
Yeah.
It kind of falls into that style of sitcom that doesn't usually work for me, but if it's, like, if I turn the TV on and it is on, right. I will probably watch it until the commercial break.
Okay, fair.
Weirdly, Big Bang Theory falls into that same category, but yeah. I love Big Bang Theory. I don't know why one works for me and the other one doesn't.
Relatable characters? Characters maybe. That are closer to your age bracket, maybe?
That could be. I actually relate a lot to the characters on Big Bang Theory. I don't relate to the King of Queens characters at all.
Do you group King of Queens and Everybody Loves Raymond into the same basket?
Now that you mention it, I do.
Yeah.
Except I've never sat through an episode of Raymond.
We own, we still do. We haven't been able to offload them yet. We own seasons 1 and 2 of Everybody Loves Raymond.
Why?
Because I think they were cheap, and we're like, we like this show, right? And yeah, we like this show, but like, you know how some shows you shouldn't buy on DVD because the charm of them is like what you're talking about.
When
like,
it happens to be on.
Right.
Yeah.
That's Everybody Loves Raymond. Because you're never like, you know what I'd like to watch right now? Something that
Raymond.
I own. Yeah.
Yeah, I've never watched an episode. I've seen like bits and pieces enough to be like, I don't even want to watch until the commercial break.
Yeah.
It's just not really my type of show.
The wife on that is on The Middle now.
Okay.
And The Middle is a show that is, I always say The Middle is a show that's way better than it has any right to be.
Okay.
Like great character. The janitor from Scrubs is also on them.
I didn't watch Scrubs.
Oh, you didn't watch Scrubs?
No. I've seen bits and pieces of episodes.
I can't tell if...
I think it was one of those things that it was like... It was before DVR.
Yeah.
And so I just never got around to it.
I own multiple seasons of Scrubs. I almost want to see what you think of Scrubs. Because
I get Scrubs and Psych confused in my head.
Same hair.
I think that's probably it. Maybe the... Like, the promotional posters, are they both blue?
Maybe.
Like, kind of like a robin's egg blue?
But also, white main guy, black friend.
I recognize that one has Zach Braff and Donald Faison, and the other one doesn't.
Right. James, what's his name, and Dulay Hill?
Sure.
He was on West Wing.
Oh, okay.
But I know him from Psych, so I think the guy from Psych was also happened to be on West Wing.
Right.
I think I'm in the minority.
Probably. So, Christmas movies.
So, Christmas movies. I have some favorite Christmas movies.
Okay.
Like, Charlie Brown Christmas, I like in theory, but I don't think I've seen it nearly as much as I think I have. And I also think that maybe I just like the soundtrack more. Because when I try and watch it, like, I own it.
Mm-hmm.
But when I try and watch it, I'm like, what's all this talking doing in place of the soundtrack?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not huge on Charlie Brown Christmas movie. I love Muppet Christmas Carol. Of all the adaptations of A Christmas Carol that I have seen, and that includes stage versions done by both high school community and professional companies.
Yeah.
Every made-for-TV version I've ever seen, all the actual versions I've seen, the staged reading that I saw that was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Does not hold a candle to Muppet Christmas Carol.
It's a good one. It's a very good one.
I really love Michael Caine. You
sure.
can put Michael Caine in just about anything, and I will watch it. I just really, really love him.
He's very, very good. He's very good. I think, and I might take some flack for this, possibly directly after I say it from you.
Uh-huh.
I think I've seen... All right, now, let me say it this way. I like them both the same. But I think I've seen Mickey's Christmas Carol more, and so it's closer to my heart.
Okay. We owned it when I was younger, and we watched it, but it was never, like, a favorite.
Like, I can't think of what the ghosts are like in Muppet Christmas Carol?
The Ghost of Christmas Past is this kind of like glowing, floaty
angel kid?
Child.
Yeah,
kid.
Yeah. Okay.
The Ghost of Christmas Present is like the big red-headed. He's got like curly red hair. He's like a saint, like a jolly young Saint Nicholas type.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's huge. He's probably like 8 feet tall.
Yeah.
And then the Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come basically looks like a Death Eater.
Okay. Interesting. Okay, so very similar. Because
very similar.
Christmas Carol. I think the same Christmas Present. I'm pretty sure what you just described is the exact same way you described.
Yeah.
I think the guy in Mickey's Christmas Carol was
Mickey's
bigger.
In Mickey's Christmas Carol, it was the giant.
Right.
Whose name Willie the Giant, yes.
Thanks, Mickey Mouse Clubhouse.
Yep. I was like, it's been so long since I've seen Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. I'm picturing the episode.
Christmas Past was Jiminy Cricket? I think it was Jiminy Cricket.
Was it?
Because Goofy was Marley.
Right.
I'm pretty sure Jiminy Cricket was Christmas Past, Willie the Giant was Christmas Present, and Pete was the Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come in the most terrifying role Pete has ever had. And also, it made cigars terrifying, because I recall that he was...
smoking a cigar through the whole thing.
He, tapped his cigar on Scrooge's grave or whatever. Ugh.
Yeah.
Creepiest Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come.
Yeah.
Of all time.
We have to skip, when I watch Muppet Christmas Carol with the kids, we have to skip Christmas Yet to Come.
Now,
fast forward, okay, girls, go get a snack. Mommy's gonna fast forward.
So, Michael Caine is visited by the Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come, and he says, "Expecto Patronum!" And Michael Caine's Patronus is... Morgan Freeman?
I was gonna say Alan Rickman.
All right.
Michael Caine's Patronus is Alan Rickman.
I like that.
I'm finding Alan... maybe it's just because it's a Harry Potter thing. I'm finding Alan Freeman... Yep. I'm finding Alan Rickman more than Morgan Freeman.
Okay.
But I could see Morgan Freeman doing a bang-up job of Marley. But,
have you ever seen Scrooged?
No. Again, it's on the list of movies I know I should have seen.
It's... a weird take. It's
Bill Murray, right?
Bill Murray.
And I like him.
He's good.
And it's young Bill Murray.
It's younger Bill Murray. It's about Ghostbusters era Bill Murray.
That's young Bill Murray.
It's weird because he's I know that Scrooge is an asshole.
Yeah.
But he's a bigger modern day asshole.
Okay.
And all of the ghosts are in some way slapsticky.
Okay.
And it just has sort of a grime on it. Kind of a Tim Burton-y kind of grime.
Okay.
But it's not by Tim Burton. It wasn't directed by Tim Burton. I like it. I don't think I hold it in as high esteem as perhaps other people do.
Yeah.
Another
one I've never seen, Christmas Vacation.
See, now that is my wife's go-to.
I think we've talked about that on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good. I think it's better if you grow up with it.
Yeah, I feel like at this point I've missed the boat. I would probably be mildly entertained by it, but I don't think I'd be I totally understand why everybody loves this movie so much, just because I didn't see it at the age that I would have needed to have seen it.
I have to say, there are probably, let's go with three, I love this, this is classic comedy parts of that movie. That I could watch over and over again.
Okay.
It's sort of one of those movies where it's everything goes bad, everything goes bad, everything goes bad, and it just escalates and escalates. That Chevy Chase is always in.
Right.
And then it all works out.
See, also that movie he did with Jonathan Taylor Thomas where he went on a Boy Scout trip.
Which was called...
What was that called?
I
loved that movie.
I wanted to say Wild Things, but that is not the same movie.
It's one of our listeners Google it for us.
I can see the cover.
IMDb it.
I can. They were like, "Wait, no, I'm thinking of Jungle to Jungle, which is
was
another
Man
Tim Allen
house." Was it?
No, that was that was Sinbad. It could have been Man of the House.
Yeah, Man of the House. Yeah. Chevy Chase, Jonathan Taylor Thomas, Farrah Fawcett.
What was the name of that Macaulay called? Getting Even with Dad. Was older Macaulay Culkin, but pre-saved Macaulay Culkin.
Okay.
Basically, enacts, like, Home Alone-style revenge on Ted Danson,
which was sort of... I've heard of it. I'm looking at it now. I feel like I've... I maybe
It was one of those movies that we, like, rented, so I watched, like, three times in a row.
Oh, yeah. But was it a Christmas movie?
It was not.
Then we should not talk about it anymore.
My equivalent of Christmas Vacation is A Christmas Story.
Okay.
Which we've also talked about on here before. TBS runs it 24 hours. My stepdad really liked it. It has sort of a tone that is that is kind of cool.
I haven't seen it in years. Yeah. I probably should give it another go. The girls might actually enjoy it.
Possibly.
But that scene with Santa in the mall is... That's rough for little kids.
Yeah. Well, Chris, I came home from work yesterday. Yeah, yesterday. And Kristen had Nightmare Before Christmas on.
Oh.
In the Santa getting kidnapped scene. And I was like... I was sort of in a grumpy mood.
Yeah.
But so it basically took off my filters of, like, cordiality.
Right.
I was like, is this appropriate for kids? And Kristen was like, sure. And, like, looked at the screen, and, like, Santa's being, like, plunged down a chimney, and I'm like, she's like, oh, maybe not. And then Matt was, like, super into it. He's like, where's Santa? Where are they taking him? Why did we stop watching the movie? So...
Of course Matt was.
Yeah. But so, Christmas...
That's another one of my favorites.
Now, Kristen and I were talking about this today. Is that a Halloween movie?
I prefer it as a Halloween movie, but... One of the things I love about it is that I don't have a lot of time to watch movies anymore. Yeah. So movies that span a multi-month holiday season are right up my alley.
So in your estimation, the perfect time to watch Nightmare Before Christmas is probably Halloween. But if you start it and finish it by Christmas, you're golden.
Uh-huh.
Cool. I've never been super into it. I like it, but it's not particularly my cup of tea.
Okay. I can see that. It's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I can dig myself just like the most unpopular Christmas movie opinion hole even further. By the way, the shovel digs are, I'm not a huge fan of Scrooge, not a huge fan of Night Before Christmas, but I love It's a Wonderful Life.
Nope. That movie, you want to put me to sleep? Put that one on.
It's so depressing.
I have never made it through without just falling asleep.
XM, the holiday stations, have what's called like a tinsel... One of the traditional holiday stations has like... It's like Tinseltown Flashback.
Uh-huh.
It was like... So, old Christmas movies. And it was like, here's a Tinseltown Flashback to It's a Wonderful Life. And it was something like the part where George... not Banks, whatever. George Bailey is talking to the angel and is like, oh, I forgot you guys don't have money. In heaven, the guy's like, and the angel's like, yeah, we don't have money. What use do we have? And he's like, sure, it's really handy down here. End of clip. I was like, are there any non-depressing clips from It's a Wonderful Life?
No.
Nope. Really not.
Also, you could have just made that scene up.
Yeah.
And I would have just gone with
it. Because you're asleep before.
Uh-huh.
I
know that I have tried to watch that online.
Yeah.
And maybe part of it is I tried to watch it when I was... like in late elementary school, which is not really the best age to try a movie that is actually kind of depressing and
super
also in
depressing.
Black and white.
Right.
It's
so depressing. It's basically the most depressing movie up until, again, you know how I just said I didn't really dig Christmas Vacation because it's things keep getting worse until the very end?
Right.
That's exactly what Christmas or It's a Wonderful Life is.
Yes.
It's exactly the same thing, only worse.
Yeah, and yet you love it.
I like the 30s.
Okay.
I think that's also why I like A Christmas Story.
Okay.
And I don't know why, because I don't think I would have liked to live then, but I like things that depict them.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I do love White Christmas.
White Christmas I haven't seen nearly enough. I have seen it.
There are large chunks of that movie that make quite literally no sense. There's a whole scene... Like, they go to this, I guess, lodge.
Yeah.
And they have to put on...
This is
like,
Bing Crosby and Danny Kaye.
Yes.
Yes.
And Rosemary Clooney and Vera Ellen.
Okay.
And it's, like, they go to this lodge and it's, like, about to shut down. And the guy who owns it is, like, an old war buddy of Bing and Danny, whose character names I cannot remember at all. So we're just going to call him Bing and Danny.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's not doing so well, and right. so they decide to stage...
Put on a show.
Like, put on a show, because I guess Bing and Danny, after the war, became...
They're like traveling like singers.
TV entertainers.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so
that's
they're
the
like,
movie that starts... It has them being, like, almost like USO entertainers at the beginning, right?
Yeah, it yeah. starts... I think it opens with them all sitting around in camp on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
And Bing Crosby singing White Christmas to the troops. And then he's like a solo entertainer, and Danny Kaye saves his life.
Right.
Like, takes shrapnel for him or something, and is like, I saved your life. You have to let me perform with you now. You owe me.
Yeah.
And so they become like an entertaining duo, and it actually kind of works.
Yeah.
And they go, I guess they're at... It's been years since I've seen it. They're either at a party or on the train or something. I think they're on the train, and they meet these two sisters.
I'm mixing up in my head Some Like It Hot and White Christmas right now, but it's yeah, only because of the train and the entertainers
yeah.
and stuff.
No, I mean, yeah, there are some parallels. So they...
Bing Crosby dresses up as a woman, and...
No, there actually is a scene where...
Wait, what?
Yeah, so there's a scene where... I can't remember the girls' last names, but they're the... something sisters, and I want to say Skylar sisters, but that's
right.
not it. The not Skylar sisters are doing, and this is why I'm a little confused. I don't know if the party was on the train. I need to watch White Christmas again. But
they were supposed to be like the Andrews sisters, right? So like,
yeah, but it wasn't.
But it wasn't the Andrews. It
yeah.
wasn't actually the Andrews sisters.
Yeah. But so they have like this little routine they do with a song called Sisters, and for them. To, like, escape without paying for their room? Bing and Danny stand in for them. So they put on, like, the little headdresses
right.
and, like, you know, roll their pants up over their knees so you can see their little sock...
Garters.
Little
yeah.
sock garters, because, again, the 30s.
Right.
And they have, like, the big feather things, and they're lip-syncing
right.
to...
A record of
sisters. The sisters singing the song right. Sisters. And it's very entertaining. But so while they're at this lodge, they're like getting ready to put on this show to bring in a lot of people and make a lot of money for the lodge. There's this whole scene where Danny Kaye is... Like, they're kind of practicing some of their numbers. And there's this one called Choreography.
Okay.
That's very beatniky. Like,
yeah.
they're all wearing, like, black tights and black turtlenecks and berets.
Yeah.
And, like, it's very that kind of era. Like, there's...
Kind of a Bob Fosse sort
yeah,
of situation.
Yeah, kind of Bob Fosse, yeah. And, like, that whole scene could have been cut. There were some beautiful scenes in that movie, and then the rest of the movie, I'm like, why did... You could have just shortened this by 40 minutes at least.
It was... So it was, post-World War II,
mm-hmm.
but it was still in that format, like the Marx Brothers movies, which actually was sort
yeah,
of
so
the opposite.
Yeah, so we've been saying 30s, but I guess we mean late 40s.
Well, but, yeah, I guess It's a Wonderful Life was like 39 or 4, because his brother comes back from the war for Christmas. So I think It's a Wonderful Life was made and took place
okay.
during the war.
Okay.
White
Christmas would have been presumably... Sometime between 47 and 50.
Yeah, let's call it 48 or something.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. But the Marx Brothers movies were always like, let's have joke, and then as a palate cleanser, the non-Marx Brothers pretty people will sing a love song.
Okay.
This was more like, whatever plot, get to the song, whatever plot, get to the other song. He sang White Christmas right from the start?
At the very beginning.
Does he
and
sing
then,
it at the
and
end?
Then they do it again at the end
okay.
as like the big finale
right.
of their show.
Got
they
it.
All come out in the pretty like red dresses and Santa suits and stuff.
And that's Count Your Blessings Instead of Sheep, right? Is also he sings that like
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a scene where he and Rosemary Clooney, whose name I think was Betty.
Okay.
Like he can't sleep, so he goes into like the main room of the lodge and she's there and she can't sleep either, and they sing this song and drink hot milk.
Right.
It's very 40s.
Right.
But it's an interesting... We're talking about this particular movie way longer than I anticipated.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting movie because it's not a musical.
Right.
But it's starring a bunch of people who are musical entertainers.
Well, it's a movie with musical performances. We could have talked about it back in the
episode. It very much is. Because I think Vera Ellen, I don't think, was an actress. I think she was a singer-dancer.
Okay.
I think this was the only movie she ever did. And if I recall, she died really young.
Well, and Danny Kaye was not necessarily a singer so much.
He was
a comedian.
Yeah.
Who could sing and dance.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, like, almost like a, I hate to, oh, we that we weren't recording one. Like, not a Jack Black, but, like, that sort of, like,
yeah.
He can do it, but that's not necessarily what he's best at.
Right. The only other thing I think I've seen Danny Kaye in, he played Hans Christian Andersen in, like, a biopic of Andersen's life.
There's a
that
movie
I watched on New Year's once when I was, like, 10. We, like, rented a whole crap ton of movies from Errol's.
Oh, sure, Errol's.
And I had a book of Hans Christian Andersen stories, and so I was like, I want to watch this movie. And I watched it, and I was like, this is super boring.
He was in a movie called The Court Jester.
Okay.
Which is, he was the star of.
Okay.
And it was some sort of like, it was like a, you know, fooling the king caper thing.
Sure.
It was good. I haven't seen it in a long time, but I know, when I think of Danny Kaye, I think of The Court Jester, and then, oh yeah, I forgot that he was the... what I imagine should have been Bob Hope, but maybe this was before Bob Hope was Bing Crosby's, like, normal guy.
Yeah.
We were playing a scene at one time, and, well, my poor wife, she didn't grow up watching, like, these old movies.
Right.
So, like, the question was, like, how many times does the elephant tap Bob Hope's shoulder? And it went to this clip of this Bob Hope Bing Crosby movie. She's like, I don't know which one is which.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, this question isn't going to go very well at all.
I do have to say, between the two of them, I would only know because I would recognize Bing Crosby.
Right.
I could not pick Bob Hope out of a lineup.
Yeah.
Like, I know his name.
Yeah.
I don't think I actually know who he is or what he does. Like, I know he was, like, an entertainer.
And he didn't start the USO, but he sort of did entertaining the troops a lot.
Yeah.
Anyways, which is why it's so weird. I'm sure there's some sort of story about why Danny Kaye was the guy instead of Bob Hope. Maybe it was just the singing dancing thing.
Well, they needed a young
guy.
Yeah.
But
he was like the young newbie who took shrapnel for the seasoned older soldier.
And it would have been two seasoned older soldiers.
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like Bob Hope may have actually been in that movie. Later on in the movie, Bing Crosby's character and it's driving me nuts, I can't remember his name. Somebody's yelling at me, I'm sure. I feel like it might be George. But he goes on, not Star Search, but like, insert well-known TV, like, vaudevillian type TV
America's
show.
America's Got Talent.
Yes. Exactly, that one.
America's Got Vaudeville.
Right. Thank you for reminding me of the name of that show.
Right. You're welcome.
And because he's war buddies with the guy who hosts it, who may or may not be Bob Hope.
But it was like a talent performance thing?
I think so. And he goes, or it's like a variety show.
Right, right.
Variety show, not vaudeville. That's what I was looking for.
Oh, okay.
But so he goes on to say, we're doing this show to help help the general.
Right.
And boost, you know, morale and sales and stuff at his inn, because there's this whole thing where Danny Kaye has, like, pretends that he's fallen down the stairs and broken his leg so that they can get the general away from the TV.
Oh, right.
During the time that they know that not George is going to be on the screen talking about this, because it's a surprise.
Right.
And I feel like it may have been Bob Hope whose variety... Did he ever do a variety show?
Maybe.
I don't know.
It's certainly possible. He did a
Maybe
lot of stuff.
Johnny Carson, would he have been a contemporary, or was he much later?
He wasn't. That would have been...
Ed
Johnny Carson.
Somebody?
Ed Sullivan?
It may have been Ed Sullivan.
Could have been Jack Parr. Could have been Jack Benny.
Could have been any one of these guys. You could be making names up.
Before Johnny Carson, I think it was Jack Parr who hosted The Tonight Show.
Okay. It may have been
Steve
The Tonight
Allen
Show.
Was there. Yeah.
I have no idea. Seriously, I haven't seen this movie in probably 10 years.
Yeah.
I own it.
It's been much longer for me.
I might watch it tomorrow.
Okay. So, hold on. Christmas Story.
You have a Christmas movie that is really kind of a, you can watch it anytime, but it's...
Oh, Love Actually.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Love Actually, I always forget it's a Christmas movie, and yet I only watched it around Christmas because it's about Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a good one.
I love Love Actually.
It's a great movie.
Yeah.
It's sort of, I wonder how the British people.
The British people?
The British. I wonder how people in England and the UK feel about it. Because I wonder if it's sort of like their Valentine's Day, Mother's Day.
Yeah.
Like, it's sort of everyone is in it.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they're like, yeah, this is the kind of movie that everyone is in because we make this kind of movie occasionally.
Well, I feel like it was the first one that at least made it onto my radar of that variety.
Yeah. But, like, literally everyone is in that. Yeah. Like, name a British actor from, like, the 2000s and they're in it.
Yep.
So good.
It really is. Like, and the entire storyline with Hugh Grant.
Yes.
There is a very special place in my heart for Hugh Grant. Yes. I just adore that man. You know, everything he does, I just find him so endearing.
We are too young to think of Hugh Grant as a huge scuzzbucket.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Like, I'm aware of his having been a huge scuzzbucket.
Yeah.
Didn't he, like, get a BJ from a prostitute on the side of the road while he was married to Elizabeth Hurley?
He was married to Elizabeth Hurley?
I think so.
Man, dude. Definitely the first part. He was definitely caught with a
He may not have been married to her, but he was
prostitute.
Oh, I didn't know it was a transgender prostitute. Yeah. I know he was named at least with Elizabeth Hurley, if not married to her, but I think they were married.
Wow. Yeah, but we dodged the bullet of having been aware of his stuff back then.
Yeah.
So that we can appreciate all the stuff that he did after, and then go back and before. Like, he was in, was he in Four Weddings and a Funeral?
Probably. I haven't seen it.
Kristen,
I think Kristen gave me a copy of it, and I don't know what happened to it.
It's, that's
like, you
a
guys had two copies.
Yeah.
And she gave me one, and I
yeah, don't. Because we bought one, and then found one.
Yeah.
We had lost it, and we bought it. Anyways.
Yeah. I don't think I ever watched it.
It's good.
I don't know what happened to it.
It's good. It's very British.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would probably like it.
Yeah.
I do like British things.
And yeah, but Hugh Grant is great in it. The Alan Rickman thing is sort of really scuzzy, but, like, great performances by Alan Rickman and Emma Thompson.
No, he was in that, too. I love Alan. Oh, are we talking Love Actually again?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, I was like, Alan Rickman was in Four Weddings and a Funeral? And Emma Thompson?
He might, you know, Four Weddings and a Funeral.
I think all three of them were in Sense and Sensibility, weren't they?
Maybe. Emma Thompson and
Hugh
Alan Rickman.
Hugh Grant may not have been.
And, basically, people who have been in Harry Potter movies are also in Love Actually, are also in Pirate Radio, which was a movie that came out after.
That but was had William H. No. Philip Seymour Hoffman?
Yes. Okay. And Bill Nighy?
Yeah, I don't know how to pronounce his last name. Like, the only thing I know him from is Love Actually. Apparently, I saw him when I was in England.
Oh.
I was on one of the buses I was on. Somebody was like, oh, look, there's, you know, the rock star dude from Love Actually.
Yeah.
And I, like, saw the back of his head. I was like, that could be literally anybody, and I wouldn't know. But cool, I saw a celebrity while I was in England.
But, I mean, like, the guy that goes to America.
Yes.
Colin is great. I mean, Colin Firth?
I love Colin
Firth. He's, I mean, like, it's so weird that he's, like.
You get Martin Freeman?
Is he a heartthrob?
Young Colin Firth was, yeah. The whole Pride and Prejudice thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you think, this is a story, but this is a question for another time. Do you think that he has intentionally or unintentionally made his bones on being Mr. Darcy, like, several times?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Because, like,
yeah, because I first knew him from Bridget Jones's Diary, where he plays Mark Darcy, who is Mr. Darcy.
Because Bridget Jones is
Pride and Prejudice,
Pride and Prejudice
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So, Love Actually is a good movie.
Yes, it is.
But
it's not the best movie.
One real quick second, Martin Freeman is so good.
He is. I love him. In everything I've seen him in.
He's
I just love him.
Yeah. And also,
I also find him super attractive. And I don't know why.
Now, I want to talk about that for about 3 hours.
He's not, like, wicked hot, but he's, like, normal nerd guy hot.
I can see it.
I don't
it.
Know. I find him maybe not super attractive, but I find him very appealing.
Okay.
If that makes more sense.
That makes a lot more sense. I think he's very charming, and I think he's very captivating.
Yeah.
And his scenes are the ones that I always am like, Oh, right. This is rated R.
Yeah.
This is a rated R film.
Right, because he and the girl are just naked and fucking the whole time.
Well, not actually fucking.
They're fake fucking.
Those scenes are so
funny. You can follow
us
on Twitter at UFO Podcast. Today the F stands for fake fucking. And also Freeman.
Freeman fake fucking.
Morgan and Martin.
Uh-huh.
But not together.
No. Well.
I mean, maybe.
I mean, it would certainly probably be an art movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That took a weird turn.
Yep. yes. And, I always forget until those scenes. And then also, I shouldn't have said fuck scenes mm-hmm. with Hugh Grant. Is really
yeah.
So yes, good luck editing that. I think we got
to leave it all in.
Had a good discussion, but now let's move on to what we're actually doing our show about.
Well, the show is about Christmas movies, but I definitely wanted to touch on the best Christmas movie, which is Die Hard. The best Christmas movie.
I'm just gonna embrace this and say yes. There's enough Christmas elements. You know what? I would say that there are as many Christmas elements in Die Hard as there are in Love Actually.
I would agree because they both take place on Christmas. And some people wear Santa hats.
Right. And there's...
And that is about...
And the word fuck.
Yeah.
And Alan Rickman.
Yep.
We did not script that. That was just...
It occurred to us both at the same time. Yep.
Yeah. Both villains. Alan Rickman.
Yeah. He played a really good villain. R.I.P. Alan Rickman.
Yeah.
Fuck you, 2016.
Oh. Did you see? Apparently, I guess maybe on the most recent one, Bam Bam, Justin was like, well, David Bowie can't die twice as his optimism for 2017.
He's not wrong.
Unless. Zombie David Bowie.
Oh. I feel like we'd have heard about that by now, though.
But if you were zombie David Bowie, wouldn't you be keeping that under wraps for when you release your album in 2017?
Fair point.
His last album contained a song called Lazarus, I'm just saying.
Fair point. Anyways. But he wasn't in Die Hard.
Wasn't he?
The mom or the grandma from Parenthood was.
And Carl Winslow.
And Carl Winslow.
As himself.
Yeah.
Do you, in your head canon, that's Carl Winslow, right? Like Family Matters is a Die Hard spinoff?
No.
Oh, in my head, Carl Winslow comes home and he's this goofy guy that has to deal with Steve Urkel after this shit. Hell of a day.
That makes Family Matters even better.
He's like, oh, Steve, I can't deal with you.
It might be in my head canon if I had ever seen them around the same time, but I watched Family Matters when I was a kid, and I didn't see Die Hard until like less than 10 years ago.
Right. Yes, during what I think of as the great Aaron change of like the 2000s.
The nerdening.
Yeah, like where Aaron went from being like, Dungeons & Dragons is stupid. All sports are dumb.
I don't know if I ever said D&D was stupid.
What if I pulled out a tape right now that was like, hey, Aaron, do you have anything to say before we go on in our freshman year play?
Uh-huh.
And you're like, D&D is stupid. Go Backstreet Boys. Click.
Part of that sounds like something I would say.
The click part?
Uh-huh.
All right.
I don't know if I ever said it was it wasn't anything that was really ever on my radar. And I didn't think it was something I would like, because I didn't, for a long time, understand exactly what it was. But once I realized it was basically acting.
Yeah.
And also writing.
Yeah.
Which are two things I really like, I was all in.
Up until just that last part, you could have been talking about Die Hard, too.
Uh-huh. Basically acting and writing.
Well, you're like, I didn't know what it was. I didn't really think I would like it.
Well, so the first Die Hard movie that I ever saw was...
Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Is that...
Samuel L. Jackson? Solve Riddles?
No.
Die Hard at Dulles?
I've only seen that one. No. I've only seen each of those one time. So the first Die Hard movie I ever saw was before Kevin and I were even married. We went down to visit Haley. Hi, Haley.
Hi, Haley.
You don't listen to the show, but hi.
She will now.
She should. In her old apartment with her ex-boyfriend, Colin. This was a long, long time ago.
She dated Colin Firth?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Why do you think I went to visit her?
I mean, it all makes sense now.
I specifically remember this because we rented that movie, I think it was like an on-demand type of thing, to watch, and they had cats, and Kevin was this close to going to the hospital because he couldn't breathe.
Oh my God.
So, like, we watched that movie and then went to bed in the bedroom the cats weren't allowed in, but it didn't matter because he'd already been sitting on the cat sofa.
Right.
For so long. That was our timer.
Oh, you...
I set a timer for 45 minutes.
I see.
I just stopped it instead of snoozing it, so... we'll see what happens. But yeah, I was like, I don't know what's going on.
Which movie was this? This was whichever Live Free one, or Die Hard?
Maybe.
Die Hard 4?
Maybe. Whichever one came out 10-ish years ago?
I'm going to look it up, because...
I remember there was a building and blue. And that is quite literally all I remember about this movie. Because I was watching it and I was like, I don't know, like, I recognize that I'm watching, like, the fourth or fifth in a series. I don't know who any of these characters are. I don't think I'd ever even seen Bruce Willis in anything except maybe an episode of Friends.
Yes, he was in an Arc of Friends.
He was in an Arc of Friends. I'm sure that I had seen that at that point.
Yeah.
But yeah, so...
It was 2007, Live Free or Die Hard.
Okay.
Because the 2013 movie was called A Good Day to Die Hard.
And I still haven't seen that one. So Kevin made me watch, he had like the three DVD set of the first three Die Hard movies.
Right.
And at one point when we were still in the condo, after we had watched this one at Haley's, I think, and after I was like, oh, that was terrible, I was so bored. And he's like, okay, you need to like actually watch Die Hard.
Right.
And he made me watch Die Hard. And...
Speaking of Friends... They were super into Die Hard on Friends.
Oh, sorry, were they?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was like, Haley?
Yes.
Kevin?
No.
Friends of mine? What? Blink. But yeah, so he made me watch it, and I was like, this is a great movie. And so a couple years ago, I think 3 years ago, we watched Dulles Airport Die Hard.
Right.
Die Hard at Dulles Airport.
I was Die Hard at Dulles or Die Hard in Sterling.
Uh-huh. So we watched that one. I think that was... That may have been the one that we watched the first year that we were in this house.
Okay.
And then the year after that, we watched Die Hard with Riddles.
Right.
Last year, we were going to watch Die Hard on Christmas Eve at his parents' house while we were setting up the stuff after the kids went to bed.
Sure.
Just in case any of our listeners have children in the car right now. I don't know why they would.
Also, you shouldn't be listening to the show with kids.
Yeah.
We literally, the F stands for Freeman fake fucking.
Uh-huh.
So.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Keep your fucking kids away from our fucking show.
Yeah, but probably don't give away all the Christmas magic.
Yeah. So yeah. We put the children to bed. We were going to watch the movie with his parents, like, as we put together, you know, assembled things and set stuff out and whatever. That had been our plan, but his brother and his brother's girlfriend got over to the house so late that by the time the kids went to bed, it was almost 10.
Right.
And we were all, because we waited on them to do anything.
Right.
And the kids had been, they were hot, cranky messes, so by the time we finally got them asleep, we were like, ugh, I don't know. Don't even bother arranging presents. Just, like, throw the shit on the floor and we'll figure it out later. So we did not watch Die Hard last year.
I see.
I think I may have watched it by myself one afternoon after Christmas.
I think
it wasn't the same.
Is it weird that I think I recall that?
Yeah.
It is weird.
Kind of weird.
Okay, fair. Could you have tweeted about it?
I probably did, yeah.
What's your Twitter handle?
@UnabashedlyAaron. It wasn't at the time because we weren't doing this podcast yet.
We had recorded an episode.
We had recorded some, but I don't think I'd set up a Twitter.
Go ahead.
I'm @UnabashedlyAaron.
Oh,
no,
sorry.
What?
I don't know what go ahead meant.
I don't either.
I meant like, okay, I could be wrong or something.
I may have tweeted about it.
Okay. Go ahead.
Or put it on Facebook?
Maybe. Yeah.
Facebook is more likely.
Or you could have just said I was watching Die Hard the other day or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways is what I meant.
Anyways,
there we go. That's what I meant.
Man, we're tired tonight.
Yeah.
It's almost 11 o'clock.
I woke up on the couch at 5:16 this morning.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Passed out on the couch
I finished my book, and then I was like, let me just go to sleep for just a sec. And I was like, you're going to wake up really early in the morning. And then I did.
And then you did.
Yeah.
And got work done, at least?
Or
went back to bed?
I cleaned up and went to bed for, you know, half an hour or whatever.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It was fine.
Yeah.
I usually get more sleep then than
That's true.
Not. So, That's anyways. True. So, Die Hard.
So yeah, so this year we will watch Die Hard.
Okay.
At some point.
Yes.
Probably not on Christmas Eve.
Right.
So, yeah, but I need to watch it. Maybe this year we'll watch Die Hard with a Vengeance. And maybe next year, no, Die Hard with a Vengeance was
three.
Die Hard with Riddles. Maybe
right.
This year we'll watch Live Free and Die Hard.
Live Free or Die Hard. The
Live
choice
free
is yours.
Live Free or Die Hard. The choice is yours.
Right.
So choose your own adventure.
Aw. Mm-hmm. If you live free, turn to page 56. If you die hard, you don't understand the concept of these books, but I guess turn to page 70 and pretend you're surprised? Die hard. You win. What? I won the book. Yay!
Yay!
You turn to page 56. Living free isn't all it's cracked up to be. You lose. The end.
Oh, I have a no-context correction.
Okay.
It was Jason Ritter, not Josh Ritter.
Ugh, yes. I always mix those twos up. Those twos up. I think Jason Ritter is the actor.
Yes. Josh Ritter is
a musician.
Josh Ritter
is a musician. If you haven't, you should go check out the Josh Ritter song called The Temptation of Adam. It's a great song. Josh Ritter, the album that's on, I don't remember what it's called.
Features prominently in the Die Hard movies.
The Temptation of Adam?
Uh-huh. It was a theme song.
I don't think it was.
Yep, it super
I
was.
I think the theme song was A Day Together, which was also featured on the Somewhere in Time soundtrack. Thanks, Andy.
A Day Together actually does sound like a song from the Die Hard soundtrack. No, I totally made that up. I don't know who Josh Ritter is, except his IMDb page says that he was not the son of John Ritter.
Josh Ritter and the something civilization. Go look up The Temptation of Adam by Josh Ritter, and the album that's from is a fantastic album.
Okay.
But Jason Ritter, I guess he looks like a Josh or something to me.
That.
He is the actor that was in Gilmore Girls.
His name is not Josh.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a J.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically it.
And a Ritter.
Ritter. Yeah.
J. Ritter.
So what is it about Die Hard that you like so much? Like, is...
All of it.
Is it just that it's just a well-written action movie?
Yes, and the thing is, I don't typically love action...
Yeah.
Action movies are interesting. I won't say usually. When I watch an action movie, I'm never excited about watching it.
Okay.
Going into it.
Okay.
Unless it's Die Hard.
Right, of course.
Now that I've discovered it.
Right.
While I am watching it, I am either all in or so bored.
Interesting.
And it really depends on the actors.
Yes.
The individual plot, and is there one?
Right.
Like, I like ones that have an actual plot, but not one where the plot is so convoluted that I don't actually know what's going on. And that's my problem with a lot of James Bond movies.
Mm.
I feel like there's so much that you kind of have to know the James Bondian world in order to really care about it.
The James Bond movies, I only just recently started to realize both the new ones.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're all in a series, but like they rebooted with Daniel Craig.
Yeah.
That they're a series and not just episodic.
Yeah.
They're all series.
Yeah.
So like they refer to other stuff. I did not understand that until it was this decade. Like,
okay.
I agree.
Now, I do kind of like the Daniel Craig James Bond movies, not because I actually remember what happens between one and the other,
right?
But because Daniel Craig's real pretty.
Sure.
I like him a lot. I would like him to walk around with no shirt on more often.
Sure. I don't know the...
Or in a tux.
Pretty.
Well, no, he's not pretty. He is ruggedly...
Yes.
Appealing. I'm going to just keep using appealing.
People...
Apparently, I like men who are appealing.
Fair. I mean, that's a good...
They appeal to me.
You have a type.
I sure do.
People, they're
big... Daniel Craig and Martin Freeman are nothing if not exactly the same type of guy.
Now, which is a funnier image? Martin Freeman as James Bond or Daniel Craig in The Office? I think Daniel Craig in The Office is funny. As Tim on the... Oh, sorry. Martin Freeman made his bones, a second time I've used that phrase this episode. One of his claims to fame is that he was Tim in The British Office who became Jim in The American Office.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did not know that. Yeah. I know him from Sherlock.
Sure.
Locke. Yes.
Oh, wait, that's even funnier.
What?
Daniel Craig as Dr. Watson.
Oh, yeah.
Putting up with Benedict Cumberbatch.
I feel like he wouldn't.
He'd just punch him in the face.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But yeah, I also, the first Mission Impossible movie with Tom Cruise, I love.
Those I really like.
Have you seen the first one?
Uh-huh.
Okay. That plot, it took me literally like 20...
I had no idea what was happening.
Right. Oh, well, that's because Tom Cruise makes fantastic
movies. But I really enjoyed it. I like my action movies to have a plot. Like, okay, so something like The Da Vinci Code.
Yes.
Is a good style of action.
Okay.
Movie slash book for me, because there's a lot going on.
Yes.
But it all basically makes sense.
Right.
If not initially, then by the end.
Right.
There's not so much that I have forgotten stuff by the time it cycles back around.
Right.
And it's not just about blowing shit up.
Sure.
So, and I feel like the Die Hard movies and Mission Impossible and all kind of fit into that same category of, okay, this is the problem.
Yes.
These are the people involved in the problem.
Yeah.
Here are some sub-problems, which are the gun's not working.
Right.
He's not wearing shoes.
Right.
They're on a roof.
Right.
But it all basically comes back around to Alan Rickman wants to kill people.
Right.
And, yeah.
I think the problem with the first Mission Impossible, the problem with all of the James Bond movies is that if the James Bond character isn't delivering plot, I'm probably not paying attention.
Yes. That is, yes. And he rarely delivers plot.
And, like, even, I love Dame Judi Dench. She is awesome. Mm-hmm. I don't pay attention to what she's saying.
Yeah.
I think the best James Bond movies are the ones where somehow I've paid attention to what we're doing.
Right.
Like, I watched, Hulu has a bunch of James Bond movies on it. And so I watched the two Timothy Dalton, the only two movies in the 80s that were James Bond movies were Timothy Dalton, The Living Daylights, and License to Kill.
Uh-huh.
And they're, like, super violent. Like, needlessly violent.
Okay.
And I actually followed the plots of both of them. And I was like, oh, cool. I get this now.
Huh.
The best James Bond movies for plot, though, I think has to be maybe GoldenEye might be the best. Like
Pierce Brosnan movie?
That was the first Pierce Brosnan movie. I
remember going to see one of those in the movie theater with Lisa.
Yeah, because she was a
huge Pierce Brosnan fan, and I didn't want to be seeing it, but I had nothing else to do.
It was probably a later. I think
It wasn't the first one. It was the second or third one.
Yeah.
It may have been the last one that he did. And I remember sitting there and just being like, oh, because it's over yet. And she was, like, completely wrapped.
Yeah.
The Bourne Identity movies are another one that, like, they fall into, like, the same category as the Daniel Craig ones, where I'm totally engaged while I'm watching them, but then afterwards I'm like, I don't actually know what happened.
Yeah, I've only seen the first Bourne Identity movie.
I think I've seen two of them.
I think the first Bourne Identity movie, I think the basic plot is this guy doesn't know who he is, but he does know lots of martial arts.
Uh-huh.
The end.
Yep.
And now he's going to do those martial arts at people. Two people? Into people. You can do martial arts into people.
Sure, totally can.
But, I'm
in Europe.
I'm all in on that. Jack Reacher, another time.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of those, but
The first one was very good.
Okay.
Even though people who read the book said that he should have been taller, because Jack Reacher is apparently, like, this big dude,
My mom had that. I think we may have talked about this on the show at some point, too. My mom had a beef with that, because I guess in the books, he's, like, this big, kind of hulking, blonde behemoth of a man.
Right.
And Tom Cruise isn't any of those things. I mean, he is a man, presumably.
Right.
I don't know. I haven't seen him naked.
Probably. Just real quick, and then we'll go back to Die Hard. My wife recently watched White House Down, which was an action movie, I think. I mean, it was definitely an action movie. I think it was called White House Down. She loved it, one, which is weird, because it's not, again, not her genre either.
Right.
Two, like, was still thinking about it, like, days and maybe even, like, weeks afterward.
It sounds so familiar.
Like, she was like, it was so good. The plot was, like, really good, and, like, the acting was, like, really good, and, like, it was, like, gripping, and, like, I was like, what is this movie? I mix it up with Olympus.
White House Down, Channing Tatum, Jamie Foxx, Maggie Gyllenhaal?
Yes. Jamie Foxx plays the president.
Okay.
I came out right around the same time as Olympus Has Fallen, which I think is basically the same thing, where Morgan Freeman plays the president.
Okay.
But yeah, she watched it and like really, really liked it.
Interesting.
Yeah. I think it has to be expectations again, but sort of White House Down is kind of like her Pitch Perfect.
Okay.
Not her genre, but she couldn't stop thinking about it.
Interesting.
So I think Die Hard is Bruce Willis at his most charming.
Yes. He plays that character.
Yes.
Very well.
Yes.
He's charming, but in kind of a smug asshole-ish way.
Yeah.
Or maybe he's a smug asshole, but in the most charming way.
You watched some of Lost.
I watched
the first
few episodes.
So you know who Sawyer
is. Yes.
He sort of reminds me of Sawyer.
Yeah. Daryl Dixon from Walking Dead. Yeah, that kind of like, he's kind of a smug asshole, but you really like him in spite of / because of it.
Yeah.
I also will forever love Alan Rickman.
Sure.
He was the best.
Right.
His German accent, not so much, but he was the best.
I think of that as the Alan Rickman accent. It's like Rickmania.
Yeah.
Like, that's not any particular accent that anyone actually has.
Right. It's just Alan Rickman doing a German accent comes out sounding Germanly British? Britishly German?
None
of the above?
Yeah. Like a German who... Yeah, actually, a German who's... Which is what he was playing. A German who's learned to speak English kind of is sort of...
But, like, has learned to speak English almost exclusively from British media.
Right. His accent in Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves was sort of... Like, he's just still English.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just the Alan... His own actual accent. Yeah. But, like, it feels like he has a lot of, like... meat from his mouth getting in the way of his voice.
Yeah.
Where he's like, I'm like, your cheeks aren't as big as your voice would imply.
Right.
Like, does he have, like, inner cheeks with are getting, like, he should have these big chipmunk cheeks because of how he talks, but...
Well, so it's interesting. A lot of British accents tend to be very forward in the mouth
mm-hmm.
and almost speak with, not pursed lips, but... Like, it's all very much at kind of the front of the mouth, and I think he does that, and I think he also... He seemed like he had a very small mouth to begin with.
Yeah,
and so when you have a small mouth and you concentrate everything there, it does almost seem like he's not moving his cheek muscles.
Right.
Like, you know, when I'm talking, my whole jaw is moving. He just was basically talking with his lips.
Yeah.
And glaring at you while he did it. Even when he was smiling at you. He was glaring at you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so funny. Because Morgan Freeman and Kevin Smith keep coming up in my mind. Because he was in... Alan Rickman was also in Dogma.
Uh-huh.
He was so good in that.
He was.
And it was the
I'd forgotten that he was in that. Yeah. I hadn't seen that movie since college.
I saw that movie in the theater. That was my first Kevin Smith movie. My dad and stepmom took me to see it in the theater.
I think I saw Mallrats before Dogma.
Yeah.
But...
I was blown away, but, like, it was the first time I saw it, because it was before Love Actually.
Yeah.
And it was the first time I'd seen Alan Rickman play someone that wasn't evil.
Yeah.
And it was before Harry Potter.
Yeah.
So...
He played evil very well.
Yeah.
There are very few roles I've seen him in. Dogma may be the only one.
I mean...
Where he wasn't...
Love Actually,
not,
he's not...
He's not evil, but just, he's not particularly likable.
Right.
He doesn't play... He played unlikable characters very well.
Yeah. Yeah. But, so this has been our episode about Alan Rickman.
Uh-huh. And action movies.
Right.
And Bing Crosby and Danny Kaye. We've talked about... We kind of ran the gamut on this
one. I think we did a good job.
But we talked... We stuck mostly to Christmas movies.
Yeah.
Except for that weird tangent about action movies.
I mean, but Die Hard runs the gamut.
Yeah.
I mean, my favorite Die Hard movie is Die Hard with Riddles, a.k.a. Die Hard with a Vengeance.
That one made my brain hurt.
Because of the water riddle?
Yes. Yeah. I still don't get it.
I can... We talked about this already, because this is the same... The lying and truth-telling thing.
Yeah.
Recently, we've talked about it.
Yes.
So we shouldn't get into it again.
Yeah. But. It's the same problem that I'm having with a lot of the puzzles in... both Virtue's Last Reward and Zero Time Dilemma, which you guys can expect a future episode on. but there's a whole lot where if I really sat down and thought about it with a pen and paper.
Yeah.
And really worked at it, I could probably come up with it.
Right.
But it's not worth it to me. Like, I don't get any particular satisfaction or enjoyment out of finally solving this math problem I've been working on for 3 hours.
Like, for instance, you won't, like, blow up, or a school won't blow up if you don't get it, so.
Correct. So it's much easier for me to just Google it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Die Hard with Riddles would have been a very different movie if it were made in the time of smartphones.
True.
Because they probably could have Googled that, and it would have been like, oh yeah, this happened in Die Hard with Riddles.
The movie we're in?
And then there would have been this whole weird paradox, and somebody would have had to kill his grandfather, and then there would have been a box labeled Time Machine.
Right. Wow. Good ref to a New Yorker's story.
That you talked about in the episode that we posted last
week. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know, I know.
Okay.
But still.
Yeah. Hey, I reference things. Sometimes I remember things we talk about. As long as I just edited them less than a week ago.
fair enough. I think I'm good.
Me too. And now I want to go watch Die Hard, but it is after 11 o'clock, so I'm not gonna.
My next action movie series that I'm gonna get into, mm-hmm. I think I'm gonna watch the Taken movies with Liam Neeson.
I saw the first one. It was really good.
I've heard it was really good.
I have not seen any of the other ones.
Yeah.
But the first one was really good. It's another one of those action movies that, like, there's a plot, it's not confusing.
It has someone from Love Actually.
It has someone from Love Actually. Uh-huh. Basically, if there's an action movie with someone from Love Actually, I'll probably enjoy it.
Man, when is Maggie Smith going to come out with her action movie series?
Oh, man. I would watch that.
It's going to be called, like, Disdain.
Yeah.
Harriet Disdain just got kicked off the force. She's like, that will not do.
Hey, James.
Yeah.
You want to write a movie?
We just did.
Yep. It's true. That's really all you need.
Soundtrack by Bon Jovi.
Yeah.
Featuring Dame Maggie Smith.
Oh, man.
Just clucking, being like, I do not like rock and roll.
No, you know Dame Maggie Smith totally digs Bon Jovi.
Now I want a poster or a t-shirt or something with Dame Maggie Smith wearing a Bon Jovi t-shirt.
Mm-hmm. Just rocking out with some air guitar.
If someone Facebooks Dame Maggie Smith's head onto just a vintage picture of some girl wearing a Bon Jovi t-shirt, that would be great.
Yep.
Thank you.
You can put it in our Facebook group, Unabashedly Obsessed with Unabashedly Obsessed.
Which you should join. We have 26 members right now, and I almost posted today. That's as many letters as in the alphabet. I'll be A. But then I realized that's really, really stupid.
Uh-huh. If you want to tell James how stupid he is, you can email us at unabashedlyobsessed@gmail.com.
That's probably best for just privately telling me how stupid I am.
Or you can tweet him if you want to go super public with it. He's at unabashedjames. I'm at unabashedlyaaron.
And our podcast has its own Twitter handle, which is at UFO Podcast, which we had previously talked about.
Yep, today the F stands for...
Freeman Fake Fucking.
Yep. Or Fake Freeman Fucking?
We always said that the F never was going to stand for fucking.
No, but then in the episode where we saw Stephen King, we absolutely said the F always stands for fucking.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah, we said we weren't going to, and then we did.
Which is vintage us.
Uh-huh.
I think that's
And also, I think means that you like that's something you have to do on a podcast.
Absolutely. Set a rule.
And then break it.
The rule. Right.
Yep.
So this has been...
Well, thank you to Jamie Shaheen. I realized we didn't thank him last week.
Jamie.
I'm sorry, Jamie.
Thank
Double
you.
Thank you to Jamie Shaheen for our theme song. Did you guys know there was a ladder down here? I think that's it.
Okay, so this has been Unabashedly Obsessed, a sister's guide to...
Nope.
All right.
A sibling's guide to pop and not-so-pop... A not-sibling's guide to pop and not-so-pop culture?
A not-so-sibling's guide to pop and not-so...
This, you want to take that again?
This has been Unabashedly Obsessed, a podcast about pop culture.
I thought you were going to say a not-so-sibling's guide.
Do you want to say a not-so-sibling's... Okay. This has been Unabashedly Obsessed, a not-so-siblings guide to pop culture.
And not-so-pop culture.
I'm James.
I'm Aaron.
Smoking kills.
So do pennies.
Hey, everyone. This, I think, is going to go after we've said goodbye on the Die Hard episode. So this is a little bit of a bonus thing. We recorded that, and then shortly after that, I discovered something amazing related to Die Hard.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, talked a little bit about this record label on the show. Just maybe we were talking about the podcasts. There's this record label in Scotland called Song by Toad Records, and the guy who runs it is named Matthew, and he used to, and he is still an occasional contributor to the Contrast podcast.
Hi, Matthew.
Hi, Matthew. So he has this record label that he basically, he was a music blogger, and then his wife basically footed him the capital to start his own record label.
Awesome.
Which is awesome, yeah. And they're both super awesome people. And so this year they've released a charity single, a double A-side charity single, that I purchased and burned a CD of for you as part of your Christmas gift.
For me, not for you.
For you, Aaron. Yeah, yes. Yeah.
And I'm sorry, listeners.
Why I'm saying this is because I'd like you all to go throw down some cash for this, because it's for charity and the songs are great. And
it's true.
They're both Christmas songs, and they're both Christmas songs about Die Hard. So
it's
should
pretty amazing.
You should go to songbytoadrecords.bandcamp.com, and the single is called Yippie Kai Yule, and it should be very close to the top as of December 2016. It's £2. Oh no, it's £1, which works out to like $1.40 something for the two songs. They're fantastic songs. The first is by Eagle Owl, and it is called Let's Save Christmas, The Ballad of Nakatomi Plaza. And the second one is called, it's by Johnny Common, and it is called Yippie-Ki-Yay, Father Christmas.
Yeah.
And they're fantastic. And I tried to message Matthew on Facebook about what specific charities they were that they're donating. But he said, basically, all revenue, not just all profit from this release, will be going to charities which protect the NHS, support migrants, refugees, victims of rape and domestic abuse, and those who suffer physical or mental disabilities. You know, the work our governments should be doing if they weren't a bunch of total wankers.
Amen.
So it's a good cause. It's a pay-what-you-want thing. So if you have... some extra cash that you want to put down and pay, you know, $10 for this single or whatever.
Right.
It's going to a great cause. The songs are great. It's not like winky, ironic stuff.
Yeah, they're really entertaining. We listened to them before we recorded this, and yeah.
So I just wanted to put this on the end of this, because we're gonna put links and stuff on the Facebook page and on the blog post and stuff, but I wanted to also have it part of the permanent recording. Go to songbytoadrecords.bandcamp.com and pick this up. It's a good thing to do this Christmas season, and I think you're going to enjoy it.
Yep. That is where you can put your pennies so they don't kill you.
There you go. Funnel them into Song by Toad Records and let Matthew deal with them.
Uh-huh.
He'd be happy to.
Yep.
So that's going to do it, and thanks for listening.
Yep.
Bye.